From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies in the book of Judges. Today, he returns to Ehud, the second judge. As a fearless warrior, Ehud slew Eglon, the king of Moab, and delivered Israel from a harsh reign of tyranny. Following his successful execution of the king, Ehud blew a trumpet, calling the people of Israel to the enjoyment of his victory. From this account, Dr. Cairns is drawing a parallel to the victory Christ's people have in the Savior. As a type of Christ, Ehud summoned the people to leave all and follow him. He led his people on a mighty crusade against the enemy, resulting in ultimate victory. Similarly, Christ promised his disciples conquest over the powers of sin and Satan. Dr. Cairns will emphasize that believers will only know this kind of victory as they give themselves to earnest and serious prayer for the power of God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, The Train of Christ's Triumph. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is called The Safest Shelter. The text is Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Who this man is, we all know. Who could he be but the second man, the Lord from heaven, the man of sorrows, the Son of Man? What a hiding place he has been to his people. He bears the full force of the wind himself, and so he shelters those who hide themselves in him. We have thus escaped the wrath of God, and we shall thus escape the anger of men, the cares of this life, and the dread of death. Why do we stand in the wind when we may so readily and so surely get out of it by hiding behind our Lord? Let us this day run to him and be at peace. Often the common wind of trouble rises in its force and becomes a tempest, sweeping everything before it. Things which looked firm and stable rock in the blast, and many and great are the falls among our carnal confidences. Our Lord Jesus, the glorious man, is a covert which is never blown down. In him we mark the tempest sweeping by, but we ourselves rest in delightful serenity. This day, let us just stow ourselves away in our hiding place, and sit and sing under the protection of our covert. Blessed Jesus, how we love thee! Well we may, for thou art to us a shelter in the time of storm.
Save me such confiding, for
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
It is a mistake for Christians to read the great historical statements of the Bible and, you know, just have this, well, this is a holy statement. And somehow or other, it is divorced from reality. For instance, Acts chapter 1. I quoted it this morning. When the Lord Jesus in chapter 1, verse 8, gave the promise, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Wonderful. We're so thinking, and I would to God we would think more, of the promise of the Holy Ghost. We somehow overlook the rest. Jesus had just died in Jerusalem. The disciples had just fallen flat on their faces in Jerusalem. Peter had just cursed the name of Christ in Jerusalem. The forces of darkness were cock-a-hoop in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. What is he saying to them? That's just the beginning. You're going to go right out to the uttermost part of the earth. You're going out to challenge the mighty forces of darkness. I'm sending you out. I'm leading you out to challenge every force of darkness and of hell. And I'm leading you out in the conquest of Calvary. And you are not only going to challenge Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. You're going to conquer them with the gospel. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying. My friend, that is the truth that the New Testament church entered into with vital faith. They knew their mighty Savior had conquered. They were gripped with the truth. He died and he rose again. He has gone into his Eglon and he has come forth victorious. Read the New Testament sermons. Read the book of Acts. The disciples of Jesus Christ could not open their mouths and witness without reference to the fact our Savior is living. He's risen. He's the conqueror. It gripped their hearts. It thrilled their souls. And gripped with that mighty truth, those men could challenge the world. And those men could conquer the world. And they did. They did. The Roman world was not an easy place to be a Christian. In the first 300 years, there were 10 major persecutions orchestrated by the Romans to wipe out this malignant sect of Christians. It was not an easy place to be a witness for Jesus Christ. But they conquered. Rome is gone. The Caesars are but a memory. Most people, even educated people, know the names of one or two of them, and that's all. But the gospel of Jesus Christ still strides with power across the earth. You see, the Lord who conquered led his people forth to victory. That is a vision of God's will for the church that I think has been altogether lost in most branches of fundamental Bible-believing Christianity. The reason for the loss is a peculiar notion of the second coming and millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll make it clear to you before we're through. I believe in the second coming of Christ, and I believe he's coming back to reign on this earth. But somehow or other, Since early in the last century, the idea that the Lord Jesus is coming back to reign has made it possible for Christians to say, well, we can expect nothing too much in this day and age, and we'll postpone all Christ's victories until the millennium. I don't believe it. I don't believe it, not for a moment. When the Lord Jesus sent forth his church, it was with a mandate that gave them divine authority, that promised them heavenly power. It gave them a message with that mandate. And with it all, it gave them the promise of the mighty results that God would give. And I never find anywhere in Scripture that God has withdrawn the message, or God has withdrawn the mandate, or God has changed the promise. Never. And it is merely a cloak in most cases for our own indolence and our own carnality, that we can sit back powerless in the world, doing nothing for God, accomplishing nothing, attempting nothing, and we cloak it all in the respectable garments of theological language. God help us when we cover sin with theological excuses. I tell you, my friend, the mighty conqueror has set the program before his church that he will lead his people from victory unto victory. That's his program. The Lord Jesus Christ is not coming back for a church in defeat, or a church in reverse gear, or a church that has only the memory and the theory of the power of the Holy Ghost. He's coming back for a church whose lamps are trimmed, whose witness is bright, whose experience of God is real, and whose knowledge of revival is intimate. He has never changed that. These people came from, or with Ehud, from the mount. They descended with sweeping power. Now, purely in a military sense, I remember when we were in Israel, our guide pointed this out. There were scenes of certain battles in the Old Testament period, and you would find the armies of Israel congregated on a mountain. They would come down in a resistless power that would overcome the enemy. Made good tactical sense to come down from the mount. But it makes even better spiritual sense. When God's people spend time in the mount with their conqueror, then they come down with irresistible power. Therein lies the trouble. There's our trouble. I said this morning in a very different context, quoting an old preacher from Northern Ireland in the last century, preachers ought not to be liars. Neither ought Christians. What is it but a lie when we say, well, we can't expect anything. The days are dark. We didn't have television in Paul's day. Do you honestly believe that having a bunch of nutcases like we have on television would have made any difference to the ministry of the Apostle Paul? Do you really believe that? I don't believe that for a second. Do you think it would have made any difference to a Whitfield or a Spurgeon? Not at all. We have our lying excuses. But the real reason is we have no experience of Christ's power on the battlefield because we have no experience of Christ's power in the mountain. When you come to your daily task, when you come to your witness, when you come to your work from the mountain, you come down with irresistible power. You know Christ in the secret place, and you'll know him in the place of victory. The Lord Jesus is still sounding the trumpet. And every time his people seriously obey the call of the trumpet, as these Israelites did, that call to challenge the world, that call to conquer in this world for God, the strongholds of the enemy to be overthrown, every time they take that call seriously, listen, he leads them to victory. That's the meaning of every revival in church history. That's the meaning of it. There was a people who took the call of God seriously. How else would you explain the prayer meetings that changed the life of this country and indeed of many parts of the world in the 1850s? How would you explain it? When men left their businesses to come and pray, they were taking the call of this trumpet seriously. And God took their praying seriously. You know why the Lord does not really take our praying seriously half the time is because we don't take it seriously ourselves. Tell me, are you really serious about hearing the call of God for your life, the will of God for your life? Are you really serious about getting with God in prayer, doing business with Christ in the secret place? Are you serious about those things? Is this something that is just a matter of words? I fear so often that's all it is and nothing more. We pray when it doesn't cost us anything to pray. We pray as long as we have nothing else to do. With shame, we have got to admit it, we pray as little as we can get by with. Now, let's be honest. Before God. No, we ought not to be liars. We wonder why we don't have power as a church, power to influence families, power to influence the lost, when all the time the dearest things we're talking about are shrouded with lying hypocrisy. It's important to pray. 2 minutes at a time. But Lord, don't eat into my time. Don't expect me not to do this and not to do that and not to go the other place. There are things that must be done. My job's important. All the things that I'm about, they're important. And I haven't the time to pray. And that's all right for preachers. They're called. God has given them time to pray. My friend, let me tell you, not until you and I start to take our own praying seriously is God ever going to take it seriously. Or is the devil only ever going to take it seriously? He's only laughing up his sleeve at this tomfoolery. Here's the reason why our churches are not accepting the challenge and experiencing the conquest. If you're going to go down into that world, you'd better go down with irresistible power. And the only place to come from with irresistible power is the Mount of God. Get there with him. That's the meaning of revival. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.